Thanks, Rob. So it's not often you get to thank yourself. So thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Rob. So all the Robs. Two Bob, actually. Two Bob. Here we are. It's a pleasure to be here, as Rob says, for 20 minutes. I've prepared for 40 minutes, so you're going to be hanging on. I have a very bad cold, so can I apologize for that first as well? All these things never arrive on time when they should be here, when you should have them, and when you get them. But I have it today, so I sound like Barry White, so I apologize. So when I do the altar call, like Barry White, come on up, give your heart to Jesus. We're going to, oh yeah, God's calling you. Oh yeah, I've been practicing all week. Amen. So just got to talk, just to, let's just pray, because I'm breaking myself. Okay, so let's, so Lord, we just want to lift this next time up to you, Lord. Just share what's on your heart through my mouth, Lord. That's all I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. The start of this year, I do for a living, I do corporate engagements and corporate outreaches and corporate conferences and stuff like that. And the sexy word at the start of this year was the gathering. And everyone's going to have a gathering. Let's have a gathering. And every company wanted to have a gathering. And everybody wanted to bring their people together for a gathering. And I just thought, wow, that's incredible that everyone has been brought back to their roots. So if you're a Neil or a Murphy or if you had a beard or if you're involved in Harley Davidson's, everybody had a gathering. And different groups of people came together. And they made it their business to hang out with people with a similar, I suppose, DNA would be probably a good word for it. People who had a similar interest, a similar calling, a similar bent in life. And I just kept thinking, goodness me, of all the people in the world who should have a gathering, it's church. It's the people who know God, love God, follow God, and want him to be part of their lives. So I was thinking, what could we do to do that? And then there's also people who don't even know that they know God and love God and want to know God. Because I actually think the Bible says that God wants all, not just some. He wants us all. It says in the scripture that God's anxious that none should perish. So that pretty much covers all of us. He also said that whosoever believes wouldn't perish. And whosoever means anyone. So God's call is the least exclusive invitation. It's like anyone. But it's also the most personal because it's you. Isn't that incredible? It's like for everyone, especially you. And I just think that for me is amazing. And that's when God formed this idea of gathering of people who love him. Now I know, here's the thing. I'm not speaking to you as anyone special this morning. Okay, so I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher. Can you just look at me like this? Imagine we're a family. In fact, you don't have to imagine we're a family. We are a family. We're a family. We're all God's kids, right? And I'm 51 now, so imagine I'm your older brother. And I know a bit, right? I know a bit about life. I've done a bit. Stuff has happened to me. Stuff has come my way. I've been in things. I've done things I should have never done. I've been in places I wouldn't even tell you where I was. And it's happened to me. But I still have a daddy in heaven that loves me. And that is sensational. That is just, that's mind blowing. So, do you know what happens when we do things that we think offend our father? What we do is we don't come to see him because we're afraid of our brothers and sisters. Isn't that right? You won't go home because my big brother's going to kill me. And my sister's going to give me a razzing if I go home and say that, right? So that's what happens in normal families. But in the church, don't let that be your lot. Today, we're coming to daddy. Today, he's called us. Today, he said, you know what? There's a thing going on in Liberty Bray. Will you just come home and just come home and have a chat? I just want to see you. I miss you. I love you. I love you. Isn't that gorgeous? That's what the gathering that God put in my heart. That's all it was. That's all it was. And we were praying inside before the meeting started. And I was, this all came. And I sent the email to Noel and Rob. And I wrote it as it came. So I didn't even have to think. You know, one of those things, I'd have to plan a lot of things. But this, I just wrote this. So it was almost like, wow, that's a great idea. And then when it wasn't mine, must have come from someone else. And then when Rob wrote to me, he said, we're doing all that. And I'm like, that's amazing. Because normally when you give a few suggestions, people, we take that one. We don't like that one. We like that one. We'll say that was our one and we'll use that one. Right? But this was like all of that. And when we were praying inside, I was kind of thinking that, do you know the story of Jericho where the children of Israel got to Jericho? and there was a big wall, and God gave them a very detailed plan. It was a very detailed plan. And he said, do this, do this, do this, then this will happen. So if I was there, I'd be going like, do we really have to walk around and say nothing? Like, have we to be silent for all these times walking around? And he's not allowed to blow the bugle. Don't blow it yet. Don't blow it. He didn't say blow it yet. And then came the day and said, blow it now. And they all blew it and the walls fell down. I would have been like, wow, I am so glad I shut up when I was supposed to shut up. And I spoke when I spoke when I was supposed to speak. So when we do things to God's detailed plan, incredible things happen. Walls fall down and God's people move in to the space that belongs to God. And I think today is one of those days. So I come to you. And Malachi, just put on the next slide there. I come to you like the big brother in that family. Imagine that's our daddy in the middle there. And that's all us swarming all over him. And he just loves us. And he says, come on now. Let's hang out together. And the verse, I suppose, that overrides is the next slide. The verse that kind of overrides all what I was thinking about today is, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And when Mag started with the balloons thing, I'm going, isn't that amazing? We can't carry all that stuff, and we're all trying to grab it and pull it in. Oh, where's my balloon gone? Trouble with troubles in life, they're not that light. And this country is crippled with depression and sadness and financial burden, loss of loved ones, bereavement, drug addiction, alcoholism, family feuds, family fights, stuff that we were never made to carry. Never. And our dad's looking at us going, come here. Give me that. Give me that. And we go, no, I can manage. My ma's terrible. My ma's 81, right? You go shopping with her, all the bags. Ma, will I carry that? No, I can manage. Uncle Ma, you can't manage. Give me the bag. No, I'm fine. Ma, give me the bag. No, I can manage. And then you're walking along and everyone's going, look at that fella, he won't even carry his mother's bag. It's like, give me the bag. Give me the bag. I can manage. Do you ever do that with God? I can manage. I was made to carry all this depression. I was made to carry all this anxiety. I was made to carry all this financial worry. And your dad in heaven's just going, no, don't, will you come home to me? Come home to what's familiar. Because you know what? There's something in your heart that knows God is so familiar. There's something in your soul that was made to be held by him. And yet we deny it. We go, I can manage. And he's saying, if you just come to me, I'll give you a rest. So this idea for the gathering, and when I heard it was to be started in Bray, I was kind of thinking, well, Bray is, well, maybe we're not all, sorry, am I boring you? That's really encouraging when someone yawns and you're only going for 5 minutes. Says when we're gathering, and I was thinking of Bray. I don't know how many people here are from Bray. Well, I travel all the way over from Raheny, so I'm a Northsider, so I'm way. I had to get traveler's checks to come over here today and get a visa. So it was like, so when I was thinking of Bray, I was thinking, as I was growing up, we used to go to Bray, wasn't the Dart, now that ages me, doesn't it? It was like a big diesel engine train, and it went, and the doors banged, and you came out here, and you went on the bumpers, and you got rock, and you got that stuff that stuck all over your hair, and your mom battered you on the way home for getting all over your Aran jumper that she knitted for you that took 3 years to knit. Well, it didn't knit for you. She knitted for your brother, but you got it when he'd wrecked it and it was hanging on you because she'd washed it with the other wash and one arm was longer than the other. I love Bray. And you came out in your short trousers because we wore shorts when we were 21 in those days. And there were those rough material that cut the legs off, you know. So most young fellas walked like this. I said, we're going to Bray. So I had all these memories of Bray. And do you know the one thing I remember of Bray? Bray head. With the cross on the top. And there's that cross looking down over Bray all these years. So yesterday, I was sitting preparing for today, and I was thinking, what if God was calling us home to Bray, but calling us home to himself? So I just made this short little video. So watch this video. I think you'll recognize the tune. And then I'll come and share some more thoughts. So it's extraordinary, the call to come home, isn't it? It's just, I was talking to Karen last night, we were just talking about home, and on the next slide, it was like home seems to be a big there are so many songs about home, coming home. So obviously that Michael Bublé song is a great one. Lynyrd Skynyrd had a song with home in it. Can anyone know what it is? Sweet Home Alabama. Sweet Home Alabama. Dawn had a song, I'm Coming, I've Done My Time. You'll see the yellow ribbons everywhere. Tie a yellow ribbon that has home in it. Welcome, Peters and Lee sang a song, Welcome. Welcome Home. Chris Rea was driving, Home for Christmas. So home seems to be a place that we all want to get to. And I kind of say, like, coming home from what? And on the next slide, I was just kind of thinking the places that people come home from. On the next slide, there's people come home from hospital. So they, you know, they say things like, when's he getting home? He's in hospital. When's he getting home? They've just had a baby. When are they coming home? Or they've gone to war. Bring the troops home. When are the troops getting home? Let's get them home. You go on your holiday and people say, the minute you go on your holiday, when are you home? When you only got there. When are you home? And then you're in work. When you're in work, you're kind of going saying, I want to go home. Go on a mission trip. People say, when are they home? You go to school and you can't wait the minute you go in before you get home. So there seems to be something in us that wants to come home. So what do you want to get home for? Well, I talked to Karen last night, and I think Karen is destined to be a preacher because she listed things, and I don't think she knew it, but they all began with F, which I just thought was amazing, because if you're trying to put together a talk, you're always trying to be clever, get me all the Fs. What's it? Give me all things that start with G or something like that. So this, I said, Karen, when you came home, what did you come home for? She said, I came home for family. I said, yeah, came home for family, for food, for familiarity, for my father and mother, for freedom, for finance, and for fun. And I suppose if you were to say, what do those things mean? So when we're looking for those things, when we come home for all those things that begin with F, I'd really say, what would that be? You were really looking for security, acceptance, a sense of belonging, sense of comfort. Suppose if you'd lived in a flat when you were a kid on your own and came home to mommy and daddy's house, it's a sense of cleanliness, a sense of order, sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to live here. I'm one of the family. And you had a place. So coming home brings all those things. So when God calls us home, it's not come home and I'll be the boss of you, or come home and I'll ruin your life or give you no, you know, like people seem to think that the minute you give your life to God is like, well, that's it. That's the fun over. But we know that's not true. We know that if we come to God, let him into our lives, that he's saying, that's what I have for you. I have security, I have acceptance, I have belonging, I have comfort, I have cleanliness, you have entitlement, and you will have a place here. And he told a story, which I love, in Luke 15. He was kind of gathered, and we won't read it because sense of time is you can read it when you get home, but the Pharisees were gathered, and Jesus was talking to the outcasts. Now, I don't know if you've ever been an outcast. Did you ever go somewhere, kind of especially happens to you when you're kids, and everyone's in the gang, and then someone looks at you and goes, what are you doing here? And you went, oh, I shouldn't be here. What are you doing here? You're not one of us. So Jesus was sitting with all these, the rabble, and the people who had sinned and were seen as dirty and outcast, and he was talking to them. And the Pharisees went, what are you doing with them? What are you doing with them? They can't be sitting with you. You're a rabbi. You're supposed to call yourself a teacher. Look at the filth you're sitting with. And Jesus told three stories. Now, I love this because if you've been in church for a while or heard people giving testimonies, people always say this, when I found God. Is that true? When I found God. So when you read these stories, the incredible thing is that you never find God. He finds you. He hunts you down, searches for you, chases you till he gets you. Isn't that amazing? And he told these three stories. The first story he told, he said a woman lost a coin, and she pushed back all the furniture, she lit all the lights she had, she swept everything till she found it. Did you ever drop money in a shop, like tenpence, and you're kind of crawling under the fridge and pushing people out of the way? So that's mine, sorry. And it's always crowded when you drop your money, isn't it? It's like, excuse me. It's my 5 cent. I was like, I used to love 50 pences because they couldn't roll, right? But that kind of, I'm going to get me money. But that, And you know, they say, psychologists say that that's the difference between, because if someone said to you and you went to a shop, there's 10 cent under there, do you want it? You wouldn't, because it's not yours. But if you lose something that belongs to you, you'll hunt it down, won't you? Jesus said, he will hunt us down like a lost coin. Why? Because we're precious. And I was just talking to Donald just at the start, we were talking about agape love. And he was saying, someone was saying to him yesterday, that love, agape love, is precious. That's like Jesus saying to us this morning, you're precious, I'm going to hunt you down. Maybe you got a flyer today because I'm hunting you down. Maybe someone said, come to Bray today, we're having a gathering, because Jesus is letting the light shine so he can see where you are, because he wants you. And you could see from the Pharisees, they didn't get that. So he said, well, look, I'll put it to you another way. A shepherd had a load of sheep, 100, and one of them strayed. One of them. What did he do? He left the 99 and went and looked for that sheep. And what's it say in the scripture? He put him on his shoulders and carried him home. Now, if that was me, right, I'd be saying, right, that sheep's going to get put down. Troublesome sheep. I'm going to get rid of him. Make him into lamb chops or whatever you do with sheep, right? Your Christmas dinner. But Jesus didn't. He went, no, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to collect him and bring him home. So you could probably see, I'd say if you're there, you would probably see all the rabble going, see? He thinks we're special. Jesus loves us. He's putting the Pharisees in their space. And the Pharisees still didn't get it. So Jesus said, well, I'll tell you one more story. There's two sons. And one of them said to his dad, just give me the money, I'm out of here. I want to go and have a bit of crack. Gone off to a far country to have a mad life. And off he went. And he wasted his money, the Bible says. He wasted his money on a mad time. He did it up, lived it up, had a great time. Did the Celtic Tiger before it was ever even invented, right? He went off and did the Israeli Tiger, whatever that was. And just had a ball. And then one day, it all ran out. And it says in the scripture that he came to himself. Do you ever have a moment like that? In Dublin we go, what am I like? What am I like? Will you catch yourself on? In Cork they say, will you cop yourself on, boy? Right? It's that kind of, what was it? What was I doing? And he's sitting there, the scripture says he would have, and this is because I only read this last night, right? He said he would have eaten the pig's food, but nobody gave it to him. It doesn't say he ate the pig's food. He said he would have, but nobody would give it to him. That's how mean the world was. We've taken everything you have, and we won't even give you pig's food now, so you can starve. And in his head he goes, I'm going to go home because my dad's servants have more than this. They're back there and they've somewhere warm, they're somewhere dry, they've food, they've comfort. I'll go home and I'll ask just to be a servant. And if you look up in the commentaries made on this story, it says it's called three things. It's called the story of the two sons, the story of the prodigal son, or the story of the running father. The running father. Now, I'm a dad, right? I have 5 kids, Jonathan, Joanna, Deborah, James, and Timothy. Or Johnny, Joey, Debbie, Jimmy, Timmy, if you want them in quick. And there's something in them that no matter what they do, they're mine. No matter what they do. And they do outrageous things. I've been called to schools for unbelievable stuff. I'm like going, what? What did you do that for? Right? It's like... And then you're going, are you sure it was them? Right? Because there's something that doesn't want it to be your kids. Are you sure? Are you sure my son set fire to the shed? I don't think he doesn't even smoke. No, he did it with a flamethrower. Oh, right. Okay. So there's something in you that just when your kids, do you know what it is? Because they're your blood, they're your DNA. You created them. And in this story, Jesus said that the Father said, He was on the roof looking for a son every day. And then one day, I can imagine him looking down the road and going, is that? So let's put my name on it, okay? Is that Rob? Put your name on it. Is that Rob? And if I was that dad, I'd be going, is that my kid? And you can imagine, he's gone years. Maybe it is him. It is him. That's him. And you can imagine him shouting at him, that's Rob. Rob is coming. And they're all going, what? And he got down and he ran to the son. And he didn't stop and go, come here to me, you. Where were you these last days? Well, have you done with the money? What? says he threw himself on him and kissed him. Can you imagine the smell of a young fella that had been in a pigsty for years? The smell of mank off him, right? Now, this is a Jewish father. He would not touch him. The law said he can't touch him because he's covered in all sorts of stuff that by law he shouldn't touch him. So you can imagine the Pharisees going, what? He hugged a kid who was with pigs. And Jesus went, yeah. Do you know why? Because he loved him. He loved him. He loved him enough just to forget all what he'd done and just to remember that he was his. That's my child. That's my child. That's my child. And when I was a kid, my dad was an army soldier. And I never tire of telling this story, right? And he was a big, fat man, right? He's not now. He's lost a load of weight. But I think he was about 17 stone, right? And he had an army jacket that had brass buttons down the front. And he had that peculiar uniform smell. And in those days, they could smoke in offices and there was turf burned. So his jacket had that mixture of a smell of sweat and turf and cigarette smoke. Does that make sense? So it was that kind of smell. And it was just comfort to me. So it was just comfort. So some days, right, and anyone of our generation will remember this, there was a thing called gravel, right? They don't have it anymore, right? But when you're out playing, you'd run along and you'd trip and you'd fall and you'd fall on the gravel. And it would go into your knee, right? And write something in Braille on your knee, right? So they'd be so you'd have all these lumps and cuts and bits of gravel. And you'd come home and your mad put iodine on it, which would sting you to death. This is good for you. So you put the iodine on and you were screaming, right? And then when you're a kid, you have this thing where you can keep a cry going. Do you ever do that? Where it's like... and you could do that like maybe every 10 minutes. And then when your dad came home, you just kick it off again. What happened? I could be leg today. I was 28 at the time, but I don't know. So you cut your leg, right? And my dad would say to me, come here to me, right? And he'd open his jacket, the army jacket. And he'd put one arm in there and one arm in there. Pull the jacket and he'd button it up. And the pain would go in my leg. Why? Because I was safe. I was loved. And I was special. Does that make sense? Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, if you return to me, to relationship, I will make you feel space. I will make you feel safe, loved, and special. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to come to me. You've got to come. So gathering is about coming. It's about coming home. It's about saying, none of this stuff matters. I don't care what I've done. He loves me. How do I know he loves me? Because he died for me. When I was cleaned up, when I wasn't bad, when I was a good Rob, no, when I was a mess. He said, when I was still in sin, Christ died for me. What a savior. What a God. Any other God that they put forward as the God wouldn't do that. They're all about themselves. We have a God who's all about us. All about us saying, listen, if you come, I will. So he told those stories just to tell the Pharisees. And they sat there. Do you know why they sat there? Because on the next slide, I think this is the secret. Because they didn't hear him when he said this the day he started his call. He said, the Spirit of God is on me because I've been sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came. And for us, you could look at that and go, well, I'm not poor. Do you know what poor means? Poor means you haven't got enough. So you can be poor of love. You can be poor of time. You can be poor of comfort, poor of security. You can be poor of acceptance. You can be poor of a sense of belonging. Jesus says, you know what? I'm here with good news for you. I'm here with good news for you. That's why I came. He said he's come to heal the brokenhearted. We can be brokenhearted about all sorts of things. Lost relationships, lost loved ones, lost jobs, lost careers, lost dreams. My heart is broken. My kids didn't turn out the way I wanted them to. My marriage didn't turn out the way I thought it would. My relationship didn't turn. The job never was. That investment I made just collapsed. I'm brokenhearted. Jesus said, you know what? I'm here to heal you. But you got to come. Deliverance to the captives. So I did a workshop on mental health in Wheatfield Prison, and a man stood up and said, can I just tell you this? The prison in your head out there is worse than the prison in Wheatfield. That's a captive. Captive to your past, captive to someone who abused you in the past, captive to something you did in the past, sins done to you and sins you did, and the enemy's saying, don't you move, you're my captive, and Jesus is saying, I've come to free you. But you gotta come. You gotta come. And he says, he will set at liberty those who are bruised. Anyone who's been hurt or offended or set back or made less than or told they're not, Jesus said, I'm telling you, you are. You're special. Why? You're my kid. Get into me jacket. I'll button it up. But you got to get onto me lap. There's no point staying in the pigsty saying, Abba Dah has a great place, lovely place, great gaff. But I'm happy here in the pigsty. He came to himself, and then Jesus said the next thing, which I love. In Isaiah, it says this, come, let's reason. Let's reason. Things are bad now. I can make them different. I can make them different. I can make it go from red to white. That is some change. Now, I don't do the washing often, but I know that's some change, right? I can make things go from white to pink, but not from red to white. Jesus said, though they're red like crimson, they'd be like wool. Unbelievable. The next two slides are just two slides, two verses in the scripture you can look up when you go home. He's a heart healer. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saves those who have lost all hope. Our country has no hope. Jesus is saying, I can do it. I can do it. And in a different version of it, he's a hope giver. In the next slide, different translation said, the Lord is near when I'm brokenhearted. He rescues me when my spirit is crushed. 2 years ago, my wife died. And it was just an unbelievable day. It was like my spirit was crushed. Crushed. I was like, man, I'm following God. Why would that happen to me? Why would that happen to me? What about all the other people in the world that he could have taken? Why my wife? My spirit was crushed. Do you know what? That scripture's true. That scripture's true. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted. I'm telling you, he does. I'm telling you, I don't understand it. I'm telling you, he does. There's a great verse in the Bible, a blind man was healed, and they kept saying, what did he do? He said, I don't know. I was blind and now I see. But what did he do? I don't know. I was blind and now I see. I don't know, I was crushed, but now I'm not. That's Jesus. Do you know what I had to do, though? I had to come. I had to come. He says, the next verse, come to me if you're weary, I'll give you rest. If life is too much, come to me. He says in the next verse, he says, look, all your anxieties, cast them on me, because I care for you. Now, we must, like, you have to say it yourself. We have serious issues if someone's saying to you, give us everything, I'll take it. You're like me, ma, I'll manage. No, God, I'll manage. I'll manage. It's time to praise God. I can't, actually, because I'm carrying all this stuff. It's time to move on into a great life that he has planned for you. Actually, I can't because of stuff. Of stuff I'm carrying. And he's going, give it to me. I'm going, no, I can't. I'll give you a rest. Why? Because he cares for you. Why? Because we are his kids. I am a child of God, is the next verse. It says this in that verse, in the whole of that verse, it says, behold, what manner of love he's bestowed on us that we could be called the children of God. What manner of love? Imagine being called God's kid. I am a child of God. So can I just say to you on this gathering Sunday, because all these things are about decisions as we come to prayer now, I'm just going to ask you this. And the last slide I have, today could be your day to come home to his everlasting loving arms. Because there will come a time when we all stand before God and he'll say, what did you do with what I offered? And we'll have to give an account for that. So just today, in Liberty Bray, can I say to you, today is your day for getting him back on your father's knee, for letting him hold you, for letting him hug you, to let him comfort you, to let him heal you, to let him bless you, to let him change you, to let him revive you, renew you. And if you've never got on his knee, this could be the day to do that. Amen. But it always takes a decision. Always. Everything in life takes a decision, doesn't it? The problem in Ireland is like we let things drift. And you know what? It might happen. Sure, we'll see what happens. Did you ever do that? What way are you going to paint the house? Sure, we'll see what happens. If we're planning anything, we need to take action. And in the last, I suppose for all my life, since I was 23, I really felt God's calling me to evangelism. And do you know what I really believe an evangelist's call is? To ask people to make a decision. Does that make sense? To ask people just today to make a decision. So what I'm going to do, and I don't know if someone could play, where's Reuben, could play the piano for me just for some song, just any song, just so it's not so quiet, because I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and I'm going to pray. Because I think, you know, sometimes you speak, you can say, I think this word is for someone. I think this word is for everyone. Right? So it's not just for someone, it's for all of us, especially me today. So I can tell you, as I read these things, I was so blessed. So we just all close our eyes and I'm going to ask you to make a decision, actually, I suppose, is what I'm going to ask you to make. And then we're going to eat and have more party time. I think Rob's been cooking all day. I think he has some food baked. So a couple of things. And here's all you have to do. We're all going to close our eyes, and then we're going to let that word speak to us. So there's a couple of things. If you feel that today you need to come and just sit on your father's knee, if there's any of those things I'm talking about, if you're hurt, if you're lost, afraid, lonely, if you've been away from him, if you need his help, if you're anxious, if you're sad, if you're under financial pressure, if your relationship's in trouble, if your kids are troubling you, if you've made mistakes in your life and you just need to get them right, if you're addicted and you need to break free from it, just put your hand up as if to say, Da, it's me. Can I sit on your knees? So just slip your hand up now and say, Dad, I need to slip on your knees. Just slip it up. Just say, Dad, I need to sit on your knee. I need you. I need that hug. I need to get into your jacket. I need those buttons. I need those buttons, okay? So you just tell him. Just say, Lord, this is what I need it for. That's what I need you. I need you now in my life. I need you now. So just hold your hand high, and I'm going to pray that God comes and touches us. And then before we go, there's people here who will pray with you. If you want to talk to someone and speak to them and get them to pray further with you, there are a team of people here who would love just to get with you, chat with you. And if this is the first time you've let him into your life, especially today, can I ask you just to speak to someone today? Okay, so let's just hold our hands and let's just tell him, Lord, we just want to say thank you that you are a loving Father. Thank you that you have a jacket of grace that you will wrap around us. Thank you that you died on the cross so that we could stand in the presence of a holy God as white as snow, clear of sin, clear of shame. Lord, today we just want to come as a family. On this day of gathering, our surname is the Whosoever's. And you said that whosoever calls on the name will be saved. And God, together as a family, we call on you now. Come and make a difference in our lives. May this be a day, Lord, we look back and say, that was the day when I sat on my dad's knee. He told me he loved me. He told me he cared for me. And he told me that he would seek me out like a lost sheep, like a lost son, like a lost coin. And bring me back to where I was supposed to be. Lord, bless us this week, Lord. Let this be a day that changes our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Rob.